The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 13th of November 2023, and we're into another week. How are you all keeping? I hope you had a good weekend, and you're not being too heavily impacted by the weather this morning. Of course, we're escaping the worst of the winds and what have you from Storm Debbie, but still a lot of wet weather out there across the northwest. So if you're still yet to get to school or work, drive with a wee bit of caution, because I do notice there are some areas where water is lying really quite significantly. Okay, if you've anything to pass on with us, by the way, in terms of what's happening out there, if there's a particular issue on the roads or what have you, let us know. We'll pass it on to our other listeners. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts that number. Just to remind you, you can send your voice notes to that WhatsApp number as well, or give us a call on 07491 25000. We've got Donna Marie and Shannon taking your calls today, and you can email us from anywhere that you're listening on comments@highlandradio.com. A busy old show lined up for you, lots of chat. And we've some good personalities in studio to talk to as well, so you'll want to stay tuned for that later on in the show. Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather will be joining us just to give us an outline of what was experienced in other parts of the country, maybe what we might expect over the course of this day. That's in the first hour as well, so stay tuned for that. Let's start with the newspapers. The Monday edition of the Derry People, Donegal News. The Board of Management of a Castlefin school has said the community feels betrayed by Donegal County Council after it granted planning permission for a telecommunications mast meters from the building. Those at the helm of St Mary's National School have lodged an objection to the go-ahead, warning that numerous families have informed them that they will remove their children from the school should the construction of the mast go ahead. Are you some of those parents that are threatening to move your children from that school? Get in contact with us, 086 60 25000, and we can have a chat about it, or let us know what your concerns are. We can read them out for you, whichever you prefer. The Derry News this morning, a Derry mother whose nine-day-old baby daughter, Kaylee, almost died from RSV bronchitis, has urged other parents to be aware of the symptoms of the infection. Nadine Hamilton, who was quick to thank the brilliant nursing staff in Altnagelvin who cared for Kaylee during her illness, told Derry News 2 weeks ago she had been completely unaware of RSV bronchitis or its dangers. Apparently, BSV bronchitis is, or RSV, is rife at this time of year. My friend's three-month-old baby was also recently admitted to hospital with the illness, she said. On to the Nationals now, and an overhaul of the driving test curriculum is on the cards, the chair of the Road Safety Authority has said, a move that will be seen as part of a response to an increase in road deaths this year. This is the Irish Times. Liz O'Donnell said the requirements to pass the driving test had not changed for more than a decade, despite significant changes in the driving environment in Ireland. There have been a lot of changes, she said, noting that e-scooters and e-bicycles were prevalent now and that motorway driving was a bigger factor throughout the country. The new driving test introduced in 2011 was more onerous than previous versions. For example, learners are required to take 12 essential driving lessons with a qualified instructor before they are allowed to take the test. But still, the glaring holes for me are the tests don't take place at night. They don't take place in frosty weather. If you live in this part of the world, there's certainly no motorway action going on. I don't know. They need a, if they're going to overhaul them, they probably need a proper overhaul rather than just messing around at the edges. What do you think? What do you, oh, maybe you think they're adequate. Did you do your test recently and you think, you know what, that set me off okay. There's no need to change a thing. The Irish Independent reports on the asking monthly rents. Now, these figures, unless I'm very much mistaken, are asking rents, okay? So this is not reflective of the current rental market per se. These are new properties that are being offered for rent, and these are the prices that are being sought. So, you know, you might well be living in a property in Donegal, and you could be paying, if you're lucky, say €900 per month, and you're wondering, well, how is the average now €1,122? Well, it's new properties coming to the rental market. These are the rental asking prices. But a lack of properties outside Dublin is continuing to push up rents, even as things stabilised in the capital, with rental stock only a third of where it needs to be. Prices for new rentals across the country rose by an average of 1.8% between July and September, compared with the second quarter of the year, and were up 8% compared with a year ago, the latest reports by property website daft.ie shows. But as I say, in Donegal, there's been a huge increase in 12 months. 1,122 is the current new rental asking price, the average. That's up 20% on last year. So if you are now going to seek to rent a property in Donegal, I'll try to be as clear as possible. It's going to cost you 20% more on average than it did last year, which is a really big jump. The Irish Daily Mail now. Welfare payments to refugees arriving from Ukraine are to be significantly slashed as the state seeks to curb the numbers coming here. Ukraine refugees are entitled to much higher benefits than those from other countries, something Taoiseach Leo Varadkar identifies as a pull factor. The government is now examining treating new arrivals from Ukraine in a similar way to those from countries such as Syria, which could see weekly welfare payments cut from the current 220 to as little as 38 euro. The number of Ukrainian refugees in the country is expected to surpass 100,000 in the coming days, a spokesperson for the Department of Integration told the Irish Daily Mail. Former Cabinet Minister and Fine Gael TD for Mayo Michael Ring said, "We're too generous with our social welfare payments. It's creating an awful imbalance in housing and other areas." Is that something that you would welcome? Do you believe that, would you support this government if it were to reduce the amount paid to new Ukrainian arrivals, if they were to reduce it from the 220 per week down to maybe 38 or somewhere in between? Do you think that would be a good idea? At least maybe look at what the European average for what Ukrainian refugees are getting and align it with that, because we seem to follow Europe in every other way, don't we? Or do you believe it should be maintained as is? And also, do you believe, it was floated a couple of weeks ago, not sure if it forms part of these plans, do you believe that there should only be a certain amount of accommodation for a certain amount of time as well? Are those changes that you think should be introduced? Let me know. 086 60 25,000. On to the Sun now. And an Irish World Health boss has said the fighting around a hospital shows nowhere is safe in Gaza. Dr. Michael Ryan, executive director of the World Health Organization's Health Emergency Program, said many hospitals in northern Gaza have become non-functional or are in harm's way. He described the situation in particular as Al-Shifa Hospital, which currently houses at least 200 patients, including 37 newborn babies, as fraught as it runs out of fuel and water. And there are some stories that it's probably a human condition that you become somewhat desensitized to, but not this one. It is horrendous what's happening to people in and around these hospitals. Not the awful terrorists responsible for the October 7th atrocity who deserve no mercy, but for regular people who have... I mean, can you imagine if you had a baby in that hospital and it was on an incubator and they said, you know, you better head south or we're going to be dropping bombs. You wouldn't leave your baby, would you, or anyone else that might be in that hospital, or if you had no means to move? And on it goes. And I heard listening to an Israeli senior official being interviewed saying that we're not doing this and we're not doing that and we're only using precision missiles and we'll open four-hour windows and all that kind of stuff. But in this day and age, no one's buying that, are they? It can't be presented as fact because, you know, the indiscriminate killing of innocent people, murder, as some would describe it, there's no justification, especially in this day and age. And I think even the international community is starting to say, well, hold on a second, what are we standing by and watching here? Or what are we facilitating with weapons? And that is notwithstanding the awful events that were visited on the Israeli people over a month ago now at this stage. The Irish Daily Mirror tells us that the government is to speed up new laws giving judges the power to jail evil killers like Josef Puska for a minimum of 30 years in jail. They'll have the legislation passed by the end of the year and it will come into effect early 24. The move is being pushed by Justice Minister Helen McEntee in reaction to the national outrage at the horrific murder of Aisling Murphy. She wants zero tolerance of all hideous crimes and justice system. And a justice system where the sentence matches the crime. Puska will be sentenced next Friday after being found guilty of the 23-year-old teacher's appalling murder in January last year. The mandatory sentence for that crime in Ireland is life in prison. But at present, judges cannot set a minimum jail sentence for a prisoner to serve. So the judge can't say you are going to spend the rest of your life in jail for that awful, awful crime. The average jail time for a life sentence over the past decade has been 20 years. So theoretically, that person could be out and about in 12, 10, 15, Who's to say? I presume the majority of you would support stiffer sentences for such crimes. Finally, in the Irish Daily Star this morning, the shocked community of a couple found dead after a suspected murder-suicide have been left numbed, priest said yesterday. At a mass, Father Pat O'Neill asked mourners for togetherness and support for one another following the deaths of Joe and Claire Collins. He asked the community to pray for the pair, their two adult children and both families, who have all been left deeply traumatised by the deaths. The bodies of the couple were discovered at their homes on Thursday by a friend who called to their detached bungalow in Kilnaboy outside Carfin in County Clare. God, he believed Joe Collins killed Clare before taking his own life in an outhouse at the detached bungalow in a rural area. And that is another incredibly violent death of a woman in this country, just 3 days after we talked of 18 violent deaths of women since Ashley Murphy's awful murder. And there we are. That's another woman dead. Okay, do you want to talk about anything we've just mentioned in the papers, or if you wish to raise your own issues or tell us what's happening in your area, please get involved. 086 60 25000, the WhatsApp and text number. You can call us on 07491 25000. And we make the journey out to Tory Ireland now, where we're joined by two guests, Marjorie Carroll, Community Development Manager, and William Doohan, who's a homeowner living in fear on Tory Ireland. We'll hear why now. William, I might go to you first, if that's okay. Good morning to you, William.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, William. So for those who are not aware, talk to us about your current concerns that you have and where you're living on the island.
We're living in the west town of Tory, towards the end of the seawall there, the front of the island. And we're trying to get a development done there by complete the development that started 22 years ago, a bit of a seawall. It's only 45 metres long that has to be completed. And we're at the moment, for the last 3 years, we're trying to get the council to find out which department of the council is responsible for the wall. And we're just going around chasing our tail for the last 3 years, and none of the departments want to take responsibility for it at the moment.
And in the absence of this wall, what is life like for you, or what do you fear could happen to you and your property?
Well, eventually, if the storms keep going the way they're going, behind the seawall is getting eroded away, and it's going to end up in the front garden and stuff like that. But now is the time to stop that and complete the seawall.
And it was begun. What do you know about that situation, William? Why wasn't it finished? Do we know?
Apparently the funding ran out at the time they were doing the wall, and it was left in that state.
Yeah. And there's been lots of meetings, and I'll talk to Marjorie about that as well, but there's lots of talk about this, but that's not really doing anything to secure your property, is it?
It's not doing anything at the moment. All we want at the moment now is to find out which department of the council is responsible for it, and then we can approach them and get the funding to complete the wall.
And is it a case, too, that a cap is missing from the wall? Because presumably if that's the case, now I don't know it, but what is actually there could be lost as well if it's not capped off properly. That's my understanding of other projects.
Yeah, there's a cap of 100 metres of capping to be completed. And the wall has to be extended 45 metres, the seawall itself. So that's the most important one, but the whole lot has to be done as one project.
Yeah, I get you. All right, just throw us over to Marjorie there, if you don't mind, William. I might come back to you. Marjorie Carroll is Community Development Manager on Tory Island. And it seems, William and others at Marjorie, they feel they're being fobbed off on this issue, that they're being passed around and no one's prepared to take responsibility for it.
Yeah, no, that's totally correct. We started bringing this up at the Islands Committee meetings. We're having one tomorrow in Dunloe again, so it will definitely be brought up again tomorrow. But it's brought up, and we've brought it up with the local county councillors as well. So basically what we're told at every meeting is we'll have answers at the next meeting, but the next meeting comes and goes and we still don't have answers. So I suppose what we're looking for really is just to find out exactly what department is responsible for it. And then we can obviously liaise with them, because when we speak to the Department of the Gaeltacht, they're saying, well, you have to go via the council. But when we go to the council, then they're saying, well, nobody's taking responsibility for it. The various departments aren't taking responsibility for it. So I suppose tomorrow I would like to get out of the meeting that we're going to as ourselves, the council, and public some of the public representatives and the Department of the Gaeltachta and some of the homeowners, maybe we could meet. Mm-hmm. That would be ideally what we would get out of tomorrow, just so that we know once and for all, because obviously the residents are concerned, but just we're being fobbed off for the past few years, you know, so it's getting frustrating at this stage.
And for those that would be familiar with the island, is the as you approach the pier, is the seawall to the left of the pier?
It's to the left, yeah. It's on the seawall, so to the left, yeah.
Then needs extended. There are a handful of properties there that aren't protected by any wall, whereas the main collection of houses are.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And really, it's very hard, isn't it, to sort of make a noise about something like this until you find specifically who is responsible. It's hard to imagine that over this amount of time that someone hasn't put the hand up and says, actually, we're responsible for that, but we don't have any money at the moment, or whatever the excuse might be. But to be in the situation where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing is really quite bizarre, I think, anyway.
Oh, it is, definitely. And I mean, all the departments within the council are at the island's committee meetings that we attend, you know, every quarter, and they're all there, but no one's taking responsibility for it. And I suppose if it isn't their responsibility, then obviously they can't put their hand up and say,
sure,
well, it's us. You know, so unfortunately, that's where we're at the minute. But hopefully now tomorrow that we might get a meeting arranged, you know, with the Department of the Gaeltachta ourselves and the council.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, we'll be interested to hear how that goes. Marjorie, stay in contact with us. It's obviously required. But as I say, even ourselves couldn't make inquiries about it because, well, who do we send the inquiry to? So we're going to send it to all of them anyway, and we'll see how we get on. Marjorie, Carol, William Doohan, both of you, thank you very much this morning.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Take care of yourself, and we'll get an update for you as to how that meeting goes tomorrow. If you're on the island and you want to have your say on that as well, 08660 25000. Gaddy Duff, Clonmany, water off since last night. Greg, what is the problem? Enough water coming down when it's back on? I'll have a look to see if I can find out any fault reports there. On to the roads now. The roads in Dunluce and around Mount Errigal are in a dangerous condition, flooded. Warning to delivery vehicle cars and lorries, slow down as you don't see it until you are on it. Lochras Point Ardrah Road is treacherous, I'm told, so please drive with care. An awful lot of rain fell over the last few hours. The road from Kirch in Gwydor through Dunluce, absolutely flooded up as far as the car park in Errigal, flooding up through the road. It's absolutely treacherous, advises another caller. Government has to do something. Too late. They're flocking. All right, I'll come back to that in a second. I just want to remind you that if you want to pass on any information as it relates to road conditions or what have you, please feel free to do so, and we can spread the word out across the community. Back to this comment. The government has to do something about refugees, I presume. Too late. They're flocking in here as they hear of all the handouts and the big social welfare. Well, that's precisely what the government are looking at. You are so correct, Ray, the inadequacy of the driving test. In 2005, in my first car, ACART presentation to the Donegal VEC, I highlighted the necessity of drivers being tested in all weather conditions, especially in frost and snow, and also pointed it out at RSA conferences. Did anyone listen? Certainly not. That comes in from Mary, because I know with my own son there, like, thankfully he's done all of his tests and brilliant people teaching him the lessons and all, don't get me wrong. And then he did his driving test, and then it's right, off you go, son. And anyone out there who's got a child or someone close to them that started driving, you start going, right, that's okay, but you didn't do any lessons in the dark, you didn't do any tests in the dark. Was there any conversation about how you brake and use your gears in frosty and icy conditions or snowy conditions? You know, you just pass a series of measures and off you go. If the situation with Letterkenny University Hospital does not improve, says this listener, then the people of Donegal will need to take to the streets, as we did with the water charges, to make a stand with the GPs and the doctors in the hospital. And I think really that what I took from the conversation with Dr. McGuinness, who I think speaks for most of those GPs, is that they're going to wait until early next year, because the wheels can move slowly, and take it from there. 40-year-old male here, and I finally plucked up the courage to phone my GP for an appointment for an embarrassing male problem. But I was very surprised to see it's closed on a Friday. Is this normal for GPs? And if so, then no wonder casualty is overcrowded. Well, firstly, well done to ring the GP. I don't know how long you were putting it off for, but might have been for some time. But anyway, no appointments in that GP practice on a Friday. It might be particularly specific to one. Would you please give a Christmas toy appeal a mention for disadvantaged children, 1 year old to 17, boy or girl, here in Donegal? New toys only, please. It's great to give. Contact Union Devaney Balabafaster and all, or we have his number here. Union does that every year with great success. So if you have new toys or vouchers or whatever it might be, and you want to make Christmas for a boy or a girl, 1 to 17, then we have there's no point me reading out the mobile number now for Ewan and Devaney, because it will just sound like a series of numbers and make no sense. We have it here if you want to get involved. Right, we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be talking about the message not getting through about drink and drug driving. Four people arrested suspected to be under the influence of drink or drugs in one night in Donegal. As I say, clearly the message is not getting through, or we're not doing something right. We're going to be speaking to Chair of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee about it after these. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Four drivers under the influence of drink or drugs were detected on Donegal roads one night over the weekend. Councillor Jerry McMonagall joins us on the programme now to discuss this. Jerry, thanks for your time today. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to all the listeners as well.
And I suppose most people, you'd hope most people out there would say, you know, fair play, the guards were out and people driving under the influence were detected. But I think a lot of people feel this is only the tip of the iceberg. Even as we are having this conversation, people are probably about to take their phones out and say they haven't seen a checkpoint in years. What's your view in it all?
Yeah, look, the messaging's there. It's getting out. It's quite regular. But there doesn't seem to be the enforcement. Now, I know some people are being apprehended and detected driving while under the influence of drugs or alcohol. But it's worrying that it's happening every weekend. You know, there's hardly a week goes past that someone isn't detected in different parts of the county. And what it suggests to me is that the guards, whatever resources they have, are moving them about instead of focusing on something as serious as this on a regular basis. And look, Greg, it wasn't that long ago, a number of years ago, you wouldn't have dared thought about taking your car to drive after a drink, never mind doing it, because you knew there was going to be checkpoints around the town when you were leaving, et cetera, after a night's out. So I just think there's an enforcement issue here. I don't believe the Garda have the necessary resources, and it's back to having enough guard on the beat, so to speak.
Yeah, and this might sound like a strange comparison, but it just emphasised the importance of enforcement. Like, let's take the four lanes coming into Letterkenny for an example. We're not talking about that, but, you know, there was a particular issue with speeding. And there was one weekend last year, or earlier this year, I can't remember where it was, but there was a strong enforcement for a day or two of the 50-kilometre speed limit. And see, the next week and the next week after that, every car was doing 50. Do you know what I mean? Because the word had gotten around that if you speed on that stretch of road, you're likely to get caught. So as I say, it's a bit of a messy comparison. But you're right, I think. Those who might be inclined to take a risk don't feel that it's a big risk at all, that most people will never drink and drive or drug drive. But clearly, those that will don't think there's a chance of them getting caught. And I think you're right. They don't believe they're going to bump into a checkpoint.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the statistics show us that's correct. More and more people are being detected. And I think it's because, and I have to praise the guards and being out on those checkpoints and carrying out those checks. But I'm sure there is, you know, frustrated as a lot of our people would be, that they are still detecting people driving with alcohol or drugs in their system, despite all the messaging. And I'm sure they would like to have more resources. But look, people need to understand the message too. Need to get the message into their head, because at the end of the day, it's our own personal responsibilities. If I'm having a drink, I don't take the car with me. simple as I leave the car at home. And that's what people need to do. They should not take a car, leave it in the street outside the pub or a car park nearby, and then coming out, maybe can't get a taxi or get frustrated waiting for one and decide to take a chance. Look, that chance could lose you your job, your livelihood, and could, you know, have unprecedented consequences for you and your family down the road. So I would make the appeal again that people should think before they drink and drive. And young people should, and I'm saying this to young people because primarily is young people, they should not be taking drugs and driving, because you can be detected now. All the apparatus is there, and you will be prosecuted, and it will have a life-changing effect on your life, losing your license.
The problem is that those calls of yours are somewhat hamstrung by the views of the Justice Minister, Helen McEntee, who was asked about policing on the roads and level of enforcement and what have you. And I'll read a quote from her here. When we look at the different numbers in the units, where we've seen the largest reductions is within the Greater Dublin area. And yet the number of road fatalities in that area has not increased in the same way as the rest of the country. So the numbers don't necessarily correlate to where the road deaths are. Now, for context, that was about detecting people under the influence, and that could have a cause and effect, if you know what I mean. So if you've got the Justice Minister meeting with the head of Án Garda Síochána, and their view is that, well, they've looked at the numbers, we've lost a lot of guards in Dublin, but things aren't getting any worse there. It's kind of troublesome because they are the policy makers, so that's their view. And sometimes we've seen with officialdom, if a view is locked in, it can be very hard to change it, even in the wake of all the tragedy on our roads recently.
Yeah, and you're right. And if you know, and I suggest again, they live in a bubble. I mean, talking about Dublin, you know, it's like day and night talking about Dublin and rural areas of the rest of the country. You know, Dublin, there's a great public transport system. There's adequate roads, light and traffic lights, you name it. No, it's all there. And they compare that then with rural Ireland, where people have to drive out through the countryside, bad roads. You know, it's just it's not the same. It's not matching same with same. And again, it's Dublin-based thinking. You know, we have the geographic nature and size of this county and how people live in rural communities. And yes, look, and that's not to say people shouldn't go out and enjoy themselves. Of course they have. But they need alternatives. If they do go out to enjoy themselves, how do they get home? Now, a lot of pubs used to put on minivans and stuff like that and drive them home. There's not enough taxis in rural areas, but that's still not a reason for you to get in behind the wheel and drive your car under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
No, of course,
you know,
it's
we just
not.
Need to change our lifestyle.
And we heard the end of last week, from a business owner in Rathmullen, I think it was Rathmullen, yeah, who was talking of the fact that, you know, rural businesses can be quiet because the majority of us won't drink and drive or drug drive. The majority of us won't. So we stay at home because there's no taxis in some areas. The local link is there, yeah, but it's not necessarily there at the right time. You know, those are the type of things to give people options and maybe to change a culture that really we should be focused on. You know, improved connectivity, for an example, at the right times. Let's see how that might work, rather than sort of saying, you know, stay at home.
Yeah, look, and it's about this, you know, even Republicans, you know, it's about them thinking about, right, do I want customers to come in here? Does the community need to come together? Is my premises a place for that? How can I help them come in, enjoy themselves, get to, you know, talk to their neighbours and get home safely? And, you know, powers that be should make it possible for that to happen. And we've had this discussion before around, you know, insurance and having proper drivers and all of that. But if Republicans in a rural area, and they have access to a minivan, and they can drive their customers home, then why should that not be allowed? If someone who's a good enough driver, has competent, has not got alcohol or drugs in their system, and they're taking their customers home, there can't be much wrong with that, you know. And but it's back to the personal choice again. But we just need not to do it. But they enforce the message. I think we need more Gardaí. We need more resources for the Gardaí, and we need more checkpoints to get that message across.
But unfortunately, I have to go back to the quote from the Justice Minister after meeting with Drew Harris, suggesting that that doesn't seem to be the problem, and there we go, we're in sort of a circle. But I'm that's not to take away from your point, it's just gives an insight, I think, into the mindset of those that make those decisions. For now, Councillor Jerry McMonagall is Chair of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, take care of yourself. Susan Gray is of Park Road Safety and joins us now. Susan, obviously this is an area that your organisation's been strongly focused on, and I've made contact with the powers that be with a number of suggestions.
Good morning, Greg. Yes, we did. And I was listening to your last caller. He spoke really well on this issue. So far, Greg, we have 9 deaths in Donegal. The last two was Alana Harkin and Thomas Gallagher. And our thoughts are with their family because they're going through a living hell. 9 deaths in Donegal, 8 for the whole of 2022, right? And 7 in 2021. And guess what? There was a reduction in Gardaí assigned to road policing in Donegal this year. We have 166 precious lives lost this year. That's 34 more than last year. In Tipperary, 16 deaths, and there were 7 last year. Galway, 12, and last year there were 6. And guess what? There was a reduction in the roads policing in that county. Now, we hear the powers that be saying Dublin has the most reductions in roads policing, and yet their deaths aren't up. Dublin now, the latest death was over the weekend. Dublin now is 13 deaths, and last year was 13 for the whole of the year. Go figure that one. We don't believe for 1 minute that there's not a connection with the reduction in roads policing numbers in counties and the high rise in road deaths. It's toss. It's basic. We wrote to the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, in August, and we brought it to his attention, although he probably knew the amount of road deaths and the amount of serious injuries and the reduction in roads policing. And we put it to him, we sent many points to him that we thought if they were acted on by the government, it would save lives. We wrote to him again this week, last week, and we pointed out the latest increase in road deaths. Now, his positive reply said that he's going to, in August, he said he was going to send all our points to the minister, his colleague, the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, and the Junior Minister for Transport, Beth Chambers. Send our points to them and ask them for an update on the issues we raised. We asked him last week if he could send us updates and a reply. He hasn't received a reply from Helen McEntee. Yeah. Now, we find that alarming.
But, Susan, can I say...
that we brought up...
I get you, Susan, but can I say respect? Look, I don't think the government believe that what you're saying is the issue here, because they're talking about, very as quickly as possible, reducing speed limits. They're talking about at bank holiday weekends increasing penalty points. They're talking about putting more go-safe vans up. You know, the stuff that they're actually talking about doing is not what you're talking about. So you can't, that I don't think that can be ignored either. Now, all of the measures that they believe are going to make a difference aren't worth a scratch without more enforcement. But they don't want to talk about more enforcement because the Justice Minister believes enforcement is adequate at this time. So do you get where I'm coming from? Like, you, I believe you're probably as far away from getting some of the stuff that you want over the line than you've ever been, because they're not, they don't seem to be on the same page as you and other road safety groups, Susan. They believe it's about more points at bank holidays, lower speed limits, more go safe fans. But with, you know, like,
no, they know, Greg, they know what needs to be done. They know what we're saying is right. They're taking the easy option. More speed vans. We welcome that. That will never catch a disqualified driver or a drink driver or a drug driver. They know that. They're on about reducing the speed limits. That has to go through legislation. That's going to be next year, 2025. We're talking about now. What are they going to do now to reduce road deaths? And the only thing that will always work, always has worked, always will work, the number one thing is to ensure that people are scared of meeting a checkpoint when they go out.
Yeah, which is what Councillor McMonagall said as well, I agree.
Yes.
Okay, listen, Susan, we'll speak again in the not-too-distant future. I know there's an issue with drug driving, drug testing at a scene of a collision. I want to speak to you about that separately, but I've an awful lot to fit in before 10. Susan Gray, Park Road Safety, thank you so much for your time. Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weathers with us now. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. And you've been very busy, as always. I think you're always busy, but particularly with the arrival of Storm Debbie. So talk to us a little about its path and where it came from and where it's going, Alan, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, Greg. So it developed very rapidly just out to the southwest of Ireland and tracked in last night into kind of North Kerry and then really into Galway Bay, where it did a lot of damage in Galway with coastal flooding and some very strong winds. A private weather station at the Marine Institute in Galway recorded a gust of 142 kilometres an hour, with some of the seawall collapsing there in Orne Mór and also flooding in Salt Hill. It then moved kind of into the Midlands, so into Roscommon, some very strong gusts, and right through the Midlands with over, I think, 100,000 power outages, homes and businesses without power. Moved through then into the northeast, and the centre of Storm Debbie is just off to the northeast now. But unfortunately, while a lot of people are talking about wind, probably the bigger issue for you guys up there is the rain as well, because it had some very heavy rainfall on the northwest of it. So looking at the stats, just updating, 42 millimetres of rain since midnight at Ardara, and over 32 at Guiador. So the west coast of Donegal has seen over 40 millimetres of rain, and obviously it's still raining heavily there. So that will lead to some localised spot flooding. Also, some strong winds. Finnair recorded a gust of 100 kilometres an hour and still gusting to 90 kilometres an hour at Malin Head in the last hour.
All right, so whilst we didn't get the worst of it, we're in the yellow warning zone, not immune from it whatsoever. And generally speaking, will it clear the island as the day progresses? Alan, what's the forecast for the northwest as you see it for the rest of today?
Yeah, so the storm will pull away, but the rainfall will continue for another couple of hours yet in the northwest. So you're looking at rain probably up to around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in Donegal. It will then slowly improve. The winds will ease off, and by late afternoon, the winds will be much, much lighter. The good news is that there's not as much rainfall to come in the next couple of days. There will be showers. There certainly will be some rain, but it'll really be showers and some good sunny spells, especially on Wednesday. Not too much rain looking likely then again until Friday into Saturday, really. So it will clear, it will improve. Just give it a couple of more hours.
Do you think we've learned any lessons with the weather warnings, Alan? Obviously, you know, the likes of Metairn struggling to get it right, and they are responsible for the official warnings. You know, I mean, I think people can get a wee bit panicky about the weather and start going, oh, well, 10, is it the weather going to be okay at 10:05 and not 5? You know what I mean? But some people just have that just personality. But overall, as someone across the weather, do you think that they did as best as they possibly could with how they laid it out yesterday and overnight?
I think they did, really. I suppose, I think the biggest confusion for people was this, you know, telling schools not to open in orange areas until 10. I think we need to be very clear about whether we either make a decision for orange warnings that schools don't open, or we tell the schools to make it up. Because telling people that late on a Sunday evening that schools weren't going to open until 10 o'clock meant a lot of parents were very much, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And then the storm did track a little bit further north, so it wasn't as bad as expected in some parts, like here in Carlow, for example. But it's very hard to forecast these exactly. But I think we do need to maybe be a little bit more clear in terms of the orange and the red and what we do in those scenarios. The other thing was, we did see them split the counties. So they went for East Galway and South Roscommon, which a lot of people in Cork would have said was badly needed. But they still show red for the whole county on the map. So then that causes confusion for people. So look, it's never going to be a perfect situation. This storm didn't even like exist. On Friday was the first inkling I had from the weather models that something could come. This was a very late developing storm. It was really hard to forecast exactly where it was going to come. And you know, there's a lot of people waking up this morning without power and trees down and damage. So if you're one of those that isn't, then maybe count yourself lucky rather than complain about the weather warnings.
I hear you. All right, Alan, listen, thanks for your time as always. It is really appreciated. You know that. Thank you. Take care of yourself. Alan O'Reilly there from Carlow Weather. A quick one from a listener. Please, Greg, can you ask drivers to switch your lights on so we can see them in this weather? A lot of the modern cars have running lights or have automatic lights, but people don't really use them. And in the older cars too, people seem to forget to switch the lights on. But it's really important that you're giving yourself the best opportunity to be seen. Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly is with us now as well. What's the situation you're hearing from the local authority and on the ground, Donald, as it relates to the weather?
Yeah, good morning, Greg. Good morning, your listeners. And yeah, I suppose, Greg, it's one of them mornings where the phone's busy. It's happening, and I suppose rightly so. We've been hit with them. I suppose I do believe myself. We're getting more of the tail end of the storm than what was expected. But yeah, there's different areas there. I suppose along the Rock Hill Road and New Mills and the old town there in Letterkenny, and then Glencaw area there of Kirkstown that has seen standing weather. And I suppose we're just urging drivers to take care on it, Greg, you know, and listen, I have made calls to your own local authority, Donegal County Council, and the men are out on the ground, and I mean, we have a good team there, and they will do their best to try to get this cleared up as soon as possible. But listen, Greg, I suppose under the conditions, it's not easy, and, you know, you have to, from our own men's point of view too, you have to look at the safety aspect of it as well, because them conditions they're driving today with the wind and rain, you know, and the visibility is not just very clear. So people just need to take caution until this passes, Greg.
Yeah, and the roads and the rain seem to be the biggest problem. Just looking at the ESB power check map there and thousands upon thousands of people right in the path of that storm without power. Thankfully, in Donegal, all power is up and running. So we've got away with it in that regard. So it is really water, lying water. And you just wonder, Donald, are we doing enough to let water away off our roads? Because, I mean, it shouldn't lie on the roads in some areas, you know. You just wonder, are we doing enough to make sure drains and gullies and what have you are clear?
Yeah, Greg, it's a fair point. And I suppose under the conditions we're hit with here today, it's just not easy keeping on top of that. But, yeah, it's something that I have raised on different occasions. And, I mean, I remember years ago, Donegal County Council, the local authority, they always have men on the ground with shovels keeping weather tables and that clear, you know, and that seemed to have gone to the wayside, I suppose. The digger has come in and the digger has taken over, but, you know, I think we need to go back to the grassroots. We need to get councilmen on the ground and certain areas, because when that was going on, Greg, many years ago, you know, them men on the ground, they knew every weather table, they knew every inch of road that was liable to flooding. And they kept it clear and done a fantastic job. And now your own men today, they're still doing a fantastic job. There's no doubt about it. But I think myself, the roads maintenance crew there, they need more help. We need to be employing more staff to give them more help on the ground to try to alleviate these problems going forward. You know, and as I say, it's something that I have raised before. And I will raise again tomorrow as well at our local ND meeting, because I think it's important, because we're expecting men to go out there now on the ground, and I see them there at New Mills there trying to clear weather. And that's very slim, nearly impossible, Greg, with the weather that's coming down on top of them. And as plus on top of that, as I say, the safety aspect of it, I mean, there are signs up there, they're in their high-vis tops, you know, and that's still, it's not an easy job for them to do, because the visibility is not clear even from a driver's aspect.
Yeah, all right, listen, thanks for that, Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly. Stay safe, okay. Greg, can you have mentioned that? Switch the lights on. Indeed, it's a simple thing, and I don't think it's done purposely. I think it's just people don't remember. Back to the roads. Until a certain cohort of people have a recreation of hearts and minds, a conversation, drink and drunk driving will never change. January 2020 is the last time I was tested for alcohol at a checkpoint. It was my second test since I started driving in 2005. The last time I was breathalyzed was the day I'm sure I can do it on the social media, on the internet, was the day that mandatory breath testing came in. That was the last time I was breathalyzed. That's a long time ago, I would say. Right, okay, stay with us. Loads more to come on the show. Keep us busy on the phone lines. Back after the news and obituary notices.